This is still afternoon, technically.
And welcome to Beware Spoilers. Horror edition. Spooky. I guess. And, I'm not gonna be one of those assholes on with the, podcast about true crime that acts like, you know, ooh, look how cute it is. Well, I decided to step outside my comfort zone a little bit. You know, I'm not a big horror movie fan. It's not really my genre. I'm not a huge fan of watching, you know, that kind of thing. I've gotten more into it recently, as you can tell from listening back to some of the episodes. I've gotten more into the genre to, I feel like it was a little bit of a blind spot for me that I don't have the knowledge of, of horror films. So, I started moving through that. And to that end, I saw The Black Phone today, which is Scott Derrickson, who I think he did Sinister. He has a Conjuring. I probably should have looked that up before I started. Would have been a smart thing to do. It was Sinister. More audiences, I don't know if necessarily more audience will know him for Doctor Strange than they will for, what's it called? Sinister. But he did also direct Doctor Strange. He was going to do Doctor Strange 2 until he dropped out due to creative differences. But, you know, he went out and did this. His one-time writing partner, through Robert Cargill. Which brings us to, you know, today's movie, what we're here to talk about. So The Black Phone is based on, I found this out after the fact, or, you know, in the opening credits, based on a short story called The Black Phone, by Joe Hill. Didn't do any research into it, beyond, you know, seeing that credit. I do think, I went the wrong way, fuck me, I have to make another stop on the way. I think the, well, I'll take the other one. If we look at, you know, what this story is, it's basically, you have this guy who's abducting kids. It's like 1978 in Denver, Colorado, and this guy's abducting kids, so, there's a myth around it where if you say the guy's name, he will come and abduct you, which is for nothing because the main character, Finney, doesn't say the guy's name and he gets abducted anyway, meaning that that whole urban legend part of it doesn't really matter. Apparently Finn and his sister, whose name I'm forgetting, their mom was able to have dreams that could see the future or concurrent events or the past or things that are real. And she ended up killing herself as a result, which is dropped multiple times throughout the movie, but the mom is never brought in, even though that would have been, like, a thing to do in the third act would be to bring the mom in and be like, you know, the last supporting thing. But, you know, that doesn't happen. What else was there? So, the kid gets abducted, after a few other kids get abducted, and then he has to figure out how to escape this basement, probably rape dungeon, although they're pretty weird about it, like, not set, like, being like, the kid doesn't get raped. Like, alright, well, I don't think we need to go that far. So, he gets calls on this phone that's in the basement because apparently he can also talk to ghosts, and apparently so also can the grabber, but the grabber doesn't want to believe he can talk to ghosts. So, he gets the phone calls from the ghosts of the kids who were there before him, and they all tell him, like, no, you, like, here's what you're gonna do to escape, and each one of them gives him a different plan to escape. I feel like the tunnel plan wasn't a bad plan necessarily, but it's not explained as to why the tunnel plan fails, or why he stops pursuing the tunnel plan. But the escape through the window fails, but he got the cord after. He tries to escape through the front door because the grabber falls asleep and leaves him, you know, and leaves the front door unguarded, even though it's a combination lock, but it lucks out that the guy didn't buy a new combination lock. He just used the same one that the, what's it called, that the kid he kidnapped used. It's like a bunch of things like that. And when you watch this movie, it's like contrivance after contrivance, convenience after convenience. And it's like the biggest problem I have with this movie is this kid is the paper boy, the thuggy kid, the, what's it called, the Spanish kid who he's friends with, the baseball playing kid. So he's the fifth, unless it was a sixth that I'm forgetting about. But either way, fifth or sixth. And at no point do the police go like, hey, you know, maybe since this is happening and we don't know who is doing it or what's going on, maybe people should start walking home in groups, not walking home one and not separating out and walking home one at a time, but whatever. It's like, it's 1978, I guess that shit just flies, and it's like, well, nothing we can do to stop this, so might as well just let it happen. There's the issue with, what's it called, the issue with, and then when the escape comes, it's pretty straightforward. He beats the crap out of Ethan Hawke and leaves. I mean, the movie's not bad, but it's not great either. Like, there's nothing about it that's aggressively good or aggressively interesting that makes it different from any number of other movies like this. Also, I think the religious angle is in there far too much to not play a part in it. Especially considering we're dealing with the paranormal and with ghosts anyway, I feel like the religious aspect of it is only really inserted because you would expect there to be a religious aspect in the movie, but there is no, like, concrete reason why praying to Jesus would help or anything, and over the course of the movie, it does absolutely nothing. And again, there's a lot of wasted potential in the movie, and it's kind of weird in that regard. But again, the ultimate problem with this movie is not that it's good or not that it's bad. It's just aggressively kind of okay. Like, it's fine. Like, it's a Blumhouse movie that's, you know, it's not like Happy Death Day or, you know, The Invisible Man or Halloween. It's one of those more middle-of-the-road ones that's like, it's not terrible, but we can't say it's, you know, you can't say it's good. But it's also not terrible. There's nothing about it that's really offsetting to the point where I'm like, fuck, I'm not even going to watch this. Again, I mean, if it's on cable, it might be worth a watch, or if you can find it on a streamer. I mean, this movie's a Blumhouse movie distributed by Universal, so it'll end up on Peacock. So, it's not... There's no harm in watching it in that format. I just don't think that it, you know, needs to be seen in a theater. Let alone needs to be seen in the theater in a premium format, especially opening against Elvis. And I gotta say, I'm a little confused about why my movie theater... I know it wasn't a decision of movie theater to be like, let's renovate in the middle of summer. I know how corporate works. I worked for a chain drugstore for like 6 years. I know how corporate works. I know corporate makes decisions and they just have to live with it. But like, someone at AMC Corporate wasn't like, why don't we hold off on doing this major renovation that's going to close down some of the premium format theaters until after the summer movie season? Because it seems weird that they would do it now, where it's like the IMAX theater's completely closed. Why wouldn't they wait until, like, I don't know, like, winter to do it? Like, but yeah, I think we'll keep it short today, because there really isn't too much more to discuss with this, what's it called? With this movie. Because, yeah. But ultimately, the problem with this movie is that if you've seen the trailer, you've seen the entire movie. The trailer tells you everything you need to know about it, and there's nothing about it that's particularly groundbreaking, earth-shattering, or demands to be seen in any format besides seeing it, you know, later on when it's released on home media. But, you know, Ethan Hawke has an interesting performance. I don't know if that's necessarily worth, you know, sitting through the entire, you know, thing from a movie, and also like a half hour worth of trailers. Like, what the fuck? To get to see this. But yeah. We will wrap up there for today. And in the event that, well, we got, you know, Miss Marvel still ongoing. I'm trying to think what else is still happening. can't really think of anything off the top of my head. But until our next episode, which will probably be Ms. Marvel, have a great rest of your week.